It wasn't the costume he had promised. It wasn't even a mask. It wasn't anything I could wear at all, and Halloween was the day after tomorrow. It was a stupid bucket that looked like a skull, and you could get a bucket anywhere. Thanks, Dad.
Nah, no problem, son.
He looked down on me, smiling, wanting me to smile back.
I found it buried in a pile of junk in the costume shop in Occoquan. Just kinda called me.
As stupid as buckets went, this one was pretty cool. I reached out to touch it. It felt like real bone. There were twin leather patches stapled over where the actual eyes should have been. Its teeth had been sealed shut with red candle wax, making it look like it just had a kid for dinner. Pretty cool, as stupid buckets went.
Gotta go.
Dad shared a look with Mom, who just gave him one of her mean looks.
But weekend after next, right? Have fun trick-or-treating.
Wearing what? I wanted to ask. Lenny and Charles were going as Jason from Friday the 13th, and Michael from Halloween. Dad had promised me this Scream costume. He'd even gotten Mom to agree. And, like usual, he'd blown it. Bye, Dad. See you in a couple weeks. As soon as he was gone, I threw the bucket away. Mom didn't stop me, and she promised me I'd have a decent costume in time for Halloween. Later, she checked on Amazon for a Scream costume, but said it wouldn't come on time. I turned over in bed, thought about things. Harley Gunner and his gang of 8th grade pumpkin smashers would be on the hunt again this year. He'd said so in school. But last year, we'd been chased down most of Stratham Street, and we'd nearly lost our candy and gotten a Halloween beatdown besides. I was 11. In a couple years, I'd be too old for trick-or-treating, just like Harley. No big deal. My mind drifted towards other things, towards sleep. I wondered what Dad was doing right now. I wished I had an older brother, that Bryce hadn't died. He died when he was a baby, I reminded myself. You never even met him. Might as well grow up now. Gonna happen sooner or later. I yawned, turned over again, and checked the clock. Midnight. Must have fallen asleep at some point. Then, I heard it, like it was calling me from a dream.
Are you gonna quit, Sawyer?
I sat up. It felt like I was in slow motion, like I was underwater. Oh no, I thought, sleepwalking again. Mom will flip her lid.
Gonna quit because of Harley, that jerk face?
I looked across my bed, over the shadows of my feet, socks almost glowing because of the nightlight. The voice came from my desk. It was young, but not quite grown up. I didn't know who it belonged to, but then I saw.
Gonna quit because of Dad.
It was the skull bucket, sitting right on top of my homework. How had it gotten there? Trippy.
Don't give up, Sawyer. You'll never be 11 on Halloween again.
Its mouth didn't move, but a faint orange light pulsed under the eye patches. I considered. I mean, it had a point. Also, I didn't get out of bed. No, that was a flippin' skull talking to me from across the room. Think I'll just stay right here.
Don't throw me away, Sawyer.
My dreams are weird sometimes. I came here for you. I lay back down, went back to full sleep, confident the thing was still really in the kitchen trash can. But in the morning, it was now on my desk. And when I hopped off the bus after school, Mom greeted me at the front door with a fresh-out-of-the-box plastic Freddy Krueger glove and a mask to match. As for the trademark striped sweater, I had plenty of those already, and I had my new skull bucket, too. It didn't talk to me that afternoon, and it didn't wake me up that night. It kept quiet for most of Halloween, even after I'd made the transformation from ordinary 6th-grade Sawyer to knife-fingered Freddy K. At 6:30, I joined my friends Jason and Michael for the annual candy prowl. Once the sun was finally down, my skull bucket did speak to me, but only to me. No one else heard it, even though my friends were right there.
Stratham Street, Freddy K. Get your homicidal little butt down to Stratham Street.
I laughed a little, and my friends looked at me, confused. I shrugged.
Best candy in the world that way, Freddy K. Go.
I pointed a long plastic knife finger down Stratham Street. We were right there, after all, not even close to out of time. Come on, I said. Let's go. Lenny shook his head at me. Charles reminded me how we'd barely made it home alive last year. Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees had gone chicken on Halloween. I shrugged again and started off, unconcerned. I mean, they wouldn't be in the same place 2 years in a row, right? I said over my shoulder. See you in a bit. They didn't follow me. I went down Stratham Street alone, chasing the best candy in the world. They probably would be there. The houses on Stratham Street were bigger and further apart than the houses in the rest of our neighborhood, and there were woods between them. Black spaces where shadows crouched and goblins lurked in the dark, like Harley Gunner and his jerk-faced brigade. But the people here did have the best candy, full-size chocolate bars and grab bags that were just stuffed with Halloween goodness. And by 8 o'clock, half an hour from when I'd have to report back home, I had to keep looking in my skull bucket just to make sure my treasure trove of treats was actually real.
Do I lie?
No, but I still think you're trying to get me killed.
Yeah, well, Halloween and all that.
I started back at 8:15. I had more than enough candy, plenty to share with my friends after ditching them. I did feel a little guilty about that, but there was no need to push my luck any further. But I was already too late. Or maybe I was supposed to be caught all along. Hard to say. It happened back to where Stratham Street crossed Chestnut, the blackest patch of sidewalk under a burnt-out street lamp. Good a place as any to jump a kid dumb enough to go trick-or-treating by himself. The house in front of me was far away and had its porch lights out. The next house behind me was around the corner. Out they came, 5 8th graders, and all dressed in ordinary black t-shirts and jeans. They hadn't even bothered with costumes. Behind my Freddy mask, they couldn't know who I was. Harley smiled as his friend surrounded me. From his back pocket, he drew out a butterfly knife and flipped it around. The blade glittered under the moonlight. I didn't think he'd cut me with it. He wasn't that evil. But he threatened me with it. They'd punch me around, steal my mask and candy, kick me in the stomach to keep me curled up on the sidewalk while they ran away. The handle of my skull bucket vibrated, a low current of electric anger that didn't hurt. The eye holes behind the patches pulsed orange. Harley's eyes dropped and fixed on them. His smile melted, and for a moment it was like I could feel his heart freeze in his chest, missing a beat. I held the skull bucket over my head. Its jaws went wide, dripping red candle wax like streamers of blood that had half-dried to trickling scabs. Whatever it said to Harley Gunner and the pumpkin smashers of Stratham Street made them scream. Long and loud enough that you'd think they were staring down a hole filled with every possible childhood terror brought to life in front of their wide, staring eyes. And they scattered like roaches, still shrieking. The burnt-out street lamp over my head crackled to life. And I kept walking. Thanks, I said to the skull bucket swinging by my side.
No problem, little bro.
I put it back on my desk, crawled into bed, asked it from across the room. Why didn't you talk to Dad? Why won't you talk to Mom? They miss you.
Who says I didn't?
But he couldn't have. Mom and Dad would have said something.
Different places, other circumstances. They don't hear me like you do. It'll be different for you, too. But I'll still be here.
I blinked, yawning in the dark. Felt sleep coming on. Started to fade. Will you still talk to me tomorrow?
Not tomorrow.
I closed my eyes.
Next Halloween?
I nodded, yawned again, turned over.
Deal.
And fell fast asleep.